Morena Koto. The events of Palm Sunday take place at Passover, which was the main Jewish festival. And it was a time when Jews would come into Jerusalem, they would sacrifice a lamb, and they would have a special meal together to remember the time when the Israelites, under Moses, were able to escape from slavery in Egypt and be rescued out and to come, become a people of God. And it was, you know, the main focus of their year, the high point of their year. About 30 years after the original Palm Sunday, a Roman governor took a census of the number of lambs that were killed at Passover in Jerusalem. And the number that was recorded was 250,000. So there was a Jewish law at the time which said that, you know, you have to have at least 10 people per lamb. So if those figures are correct, then we're talking about 2.5 million people in Jerusalem at the time of Passover. Crowding into the city, Jews coming from the surrounding area and from across the whole diaspora. Jesus could not have taken and chosen a more deliberate, dramatic moment to make his decisive move. And if you are thinking entering into Jerusalem on a donkey, a decisive move, well, that doesn't sound quite right. Then we need to put ourselves in the shoes of a first century Jew. They all knew the scriptures. They all knew the promise that the king would come, the king to whom all kings had been pointing, the king of all kings, the ultimate king, would come. And Zechariah 9, verse 9 says that king would come to you gentle, riding on a donkey. So coming on a donkey was not a mistake. It's not like Jesus found himself on a donkey and thought, might as well go with it, you know, hey. It's nothing like that. We are reading the second reading that Kate read to us, 11 verses given to the story of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Six of them are all about the arrangements. So this is not a mistake. This is deliberate. This is decisive. This is intentional. And so if Jesus was really intentional and decisive about Palm Sunday, it didn't happen by mistake, then we need to pay attention and look to see what is going on here. So I want to focus on one verse and sort of use it to unpack some of the key things that I think are going on in Palm Sunday. So I want to focus on verse 5 out of the reading today, and it's also the part, the verse that comes straight out of Zechariah 9, verse 9. See, your king comes to you gentle. See, your king comes to you gentle. And I want to talk about three things today. The claims of the king comes. The confounding, captivating nature of his gentleness, the king comes to you gentle. And the king is coming, who is gentle, is coming to you. So the king, the fact that he's gentle, and the fact that he is coming to us. So we're looking at those three things. So first of all, the claim to be king. As I said just now, there is nothing ambiguous or equivocal about what Jesus was doing here. And in the same way, there is nothing ambiguous or equivocal about his claim to be king. He chooses the busiest time of the year. He chooses the city, which was known as the city of God. And he is claiming, I am the Messiah. I am the king. the final king, the ultimate king. And then three after, we didn't have it in today's reading, but three out of the four Gospels have it that after Jesus comes into Jerusalem, they have it that he then goes into the temple, which was known as the dwelling place of God. And he says, "This is my house." And he arranges the furniture in the same way that an owner would rearrange a furniture. There is something so bold and confronting about what Jesus is doing here, and we mustn't miss that. Jesus is saying, crown me or kill me. Acknowledge me as king or don't acknowledge me at all. That was confronting. It was confronting then, and it's the reason why Good Friday comes after Palm Sunday. It's the reason why the waves of the palm branches turned into the waves of jeering, mocking cruelty. The clothes that were put on the donkey for Jesus to ride on, then on Good Friday, they take his clothes and gamble them away. They were confronting those claims that Jesus was making on Palm Sunday. I am the king, crown me or kill me. It's still pretty confronting now, right? Crown me or reject me, Jesus is saying to us today through the story of Palm Sunday. There is no middle ground. We're all quite happy thinking of God as a higher being, as a comforting presence when life is difficult, or as a source of wisdom. But the king, the one who comes to us and says, "I must be your everything or nothing." That's tough, and you might find yourself sitting there squirming. And sometimes I come back to this all the time, because if I'm honest, there is a part of me that would love my faith to be a bit on the side, that would love it to be something that I can turn to when I want. But I have to come back, and Palm Sunday reminds me that I've got to come back to the fact that Jesus comes and claims to be my all in all. There is nothing in between, and that kind of a claim requires a response. The great philosopher Bono. Thank you for laughing. I tried that at 9 o'clock. Nothing. Even though, you know, Bono's, I mean, how, you know, last generation. But anyway, Bono says this: Christ is saying, "No, I'm not a teacher. Don't call me a teacher. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. Don't call me a prophet. I'm saying I am the Messiah. I am God incarnate." So what you're left with is this: either Christ was who he says he was, or he was a complete nutcase. There is no middle ground. Reject him if you want. Many do. But don't just treat him as a person who said nice things. The claims of Palm Sunday require more intellectual integrity than that. If you were to take a small pebble and drop it into water, and think about what would happen. Yes, there would be some displacement of water. There would be a few ripples, perhaps, but within 1 or 2 seconds, gone. Then if you think that you were to take a vast, huge boulder, drop that into the water, and think about what would happen then. Think about the noise, the splash, the displacement, the chaos. If we're treating God like, and his claims, if we're treating him just like a nice to have, then it's just like dropping a small pebble into the water. Yes, there'll be a couple of ripples, but not really much to notice. But if we treat God who he says that he is, the King of all kings, the one to whom all glory, Lord, and honor are due, then the size of those claims should result in a huge response. Or to put it another way, if we're to think about our own lives and to look at our own lives and see the difference that God is making, have we really got to grips with his claim to come to us and claim to be king? So, first point, his claim, Palm Sunday, shows us that he claims to be king. Second point, he comes as a king gentle. And if we just think, if we were to just think, okay, God comes as a king and stop there, it would be easy to then, you know, kind of go, oh my, you know, we better get our lives into order quick. You know, if he's that kind of a king, we'd better start behaving or else. But the king comes gentle. I am a king, Jesus says on Palm Sunday, but not a king like you think. I don't come on a war horse, I come on a donkey. I don't call you servants, I call you friends. He comes as a king for the blind, the lame, the unwanted. He saves not through strength and power, but through weakness and sacrifice. He's the gentle, dying king, maker of the heavens, but comes to earth and lays down his life as a ransom for many. He saves us not through strength, but through sacrifice. We are saved not through strength, but through grace. And it's really important that we get that, not just up here, but down here. Because if we were to think that he just saves us through strength, we would either be bold but not humble, and so we would go around in cockiness, you know, elbowing people out the way and looking down on others because we think that we're doing such a good job. Or we will be humble but not bold, and spend our lives full of anxiety and not thinking that we're good enough because we don't think our lives match up. But if we know that he comes to us as a king gentle, that we are saved through weakness, that we are saved through grace, we will be able to live lives that are both humble and bold. Humble because our sin was so great that he had to die for us, but so bold because his love was so great that he gave his life for us. We need to know that he comes as a king gentle. So he comes as a king gentle. The claims of the king, the compelling nature of his gentleness, and finally, he is coming to us. I've been at this course this week, so it was 3 days this week, and then there'll be bits and pieces throughout the rest of the year. And so the refrain of the 3 days of the course this week was this: there is no one coming. There is no one coming. Now, this was supposed to be inspirational, okay? So we were supposed to think, you know, there is no one coming with a, you know, a lovely strategy and plan for you and your work. You know, you have got to sit down and think about the direction that you're heading and the way that you want to get there. There is no one coming to put a crown of leadership on your head. You need to develop the skills and qualities of the leader that you want to be. There is no one coming. But actually, it just really resonated around my head for other reasons as well, because there is no one coming feels like the call of a world without God. There's no one coming. This is it. We're on our own. We better muddle through. And what the story of Palm Sunday says, there is a king. He comes with bold claims. He comes with gentleness, but he is coming. He comes to us. He comes to us. And that is the story of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, we have a God who is always, always, always coming towards us, who always makes the first move, no matter what we do, who is always coming to us with forgiveness and love and wisdom, no matter what we do. So we have a king. His claims are great and bold and confronting. But we have a king who comes to us gentle and saves through weakness and sacrifice. And he's always, always, always coming to us. I kind of leave those things with you, and I invite you to take them with you into Holy Week, to take you into this journey where you all know where it ends. I invite you to take these things as we come to the table now, the table of communion, where we remember the King who comes to us gentle. Thank you.